So a couple of good news is the chair of the Māori Forestry Association and the CEO of Whenua Oho Limited. The government's ETS review is due out following a long period of secret development during which a small number of Māori were provided extremely limited and strictly controlled opportunities to review material. Te kapunga Jews with us today. Tēnā koe, hoanga mi.
Morena, hoa. Kia ora, Dale.
Tēnā koe, thanks, te kapunga. Well, why so secret as they drafted up this plan, and do our people have, well, obviously we've got a lot at stake in this review. Talk with us about those issues, please, te kapunga.
Absolutely. So, as an organisation, we've put ourselves out there as a collaborative but strong voice for Māori in the forestry value chain. And since the release of the first proposed changes to the ETS last year, we've been trying to work alongside government for over a year now to try and develop policy or regulation that would work both for Aotearoa and for Māoridom. Unfortunately, the process that the government follows is one where they develop it in isolation and in secret, and we couldn't possibly be trusted to participate in that activity. And as a result, we get left out from participation and engagement, and we end up with documents similar to the ones that were released yesterday about the changes, of which a lot of the outcomes of those documents could have been, the positive outcomes for Māori could have been played up a lot more, a lot better, and the solutions could have been a lot better for Māoridom. But unfortunately, that's that the government defines treaty partnership as consultation. After we've designed the car, we'll tell you and ask you how many colours of black you would like it to be.
Do you take it as a personal affront? Te kapunga, you're suggesting that our people can't be trusted to participate. That includes you. You're a high flyer in our forestry sector, yet you've been ignored in the drafting of these ideas.
It's exceptionally disappointing rather than a personal or industry affront. We are the only treaty partner, but yet we get excluded from participating. But dare I say, most of industry and the wider community gets excluded from engaging early under that veil of secrecy that government does to develop policy. So misery enjoys company. So everybody was excluded, not just Māori, but however, you know, we have a certain status as a treaty partner, and there is an expectation that we should be able to participate. If I can say this, the negativity around being able to, signing a non-disclosure agreement and then having access to the documents in April, the affronting bit with that was that we had to sign an NDA not knowing what we were receiving. We then received a 170-odd page document that we had from Friday afternoon till Monday to review, come back to, and provide feedback for. That was affronting for a start, I guess. But participation is not something government does. The thin end of the wedge, however, that I will acknowledge is that they did do an NDA. And they did give us access, and theoretically they may have been looking for some participation, albeit early consultation. Now, if we spun that positively, and I'm trying to make a silk purse out of ourselves here, but that could be the thin end of the wedge which starts allowing us access early to come up with solutions that work for all of us, if government follows through. And I'm trying to pick out some positives out of 12 months of negatives.
Well, I'd see at least the tribunal claim coming up. I mean, imagine if they tried to manipulate legislation that would impact farmers in such a way. Federated farmers would be arcing up big time. There's billions of dollars at stake here. But yet Māori interests seem to be a secondary consideration. Over half of Māori land is in forestry, and it's one of the leading drivers of our regional employment. Look, I know you know all of this, but for our listeners at home, and sources of intergenerational wealth, the impacts of the new proposed ETS may be far-reaching for Māori communities. Could you comment to that, please, Te Kapua?
Oh, absolutely. So, now, there are proposals, and there are a number of different options, and some will work for Māori better than others. And in this particular document, the officials have gone to great lengths to articulate the impact on Māori, which is all very well and good, but they've heard this all before, yet they still keep coming back with all these changes. So levels of trust around them not changing the policy to suit non-Māori is quite high. So we need to be prepared to go to battle. There is options in here which are looking to pander to the farming community. That's a simple fact. The fact is there are the elephant in the room is that 40 or half of our carbon emissions on an annual basis, 40 million of them, are produced by the farming sector. Now, the national government released its statement and said it's just simply going to push farming out until 2030. So taxpayers are going to continue to subsidise farming for the next 5 years if National gets in. The farming doesn't contribute currently at all emissions reductions. From an ETS perspective, but everybody else does. That's a huge elephant in the room. A second elephant in the room is by 2030, taxpayers are going to have to fund 100 million carbon units sourced from offshore because we haven't been bold enough to make that to address that in our emissions reductions in New Zealand, and we could have done that a lot easier had we simply afforested a little more or brought the farming sector into the ETS a little faster. But we seem to be, this whole document seems to be quite politically motivated. And for Māori, you know, our 1.7 million hectares that we were left after land theft, legislated and unlegislated, forestry is a great option for our fantastic land that we were left, that's in high hill countries, erosion-prone areas and things like that. Yet the government seems to be driving, or perhaps it's simply the Green Party, seems to be driving at this idealism that exotic forestry is the root of all evil. And yet for Māori, this is our wealth generation opportunity to sustainably develop our land without the government and still make money. And we can't allow that to occur.
Tēnā koe, it surprises me because the government is, in this regime anyway, is the sole purchaser of carbon credits. Even Penny saying that their value is waning, as if that should be placate Māori interests. But surely as they drafted this and there are holes in it, it's costly for Tangata Whenua, surely they must have anticipated a challenge. And I guess that will be forthcoming. We've got no alternative. They've backed us into a corner, have they not?
It will be coming. The challenge will be coming. We can't accept certainly some of these options. There are a couple of modified options that I read yesterday that might or with some modifications could be acceptable to Māori. However, if my opinion rather than a factual statement is that this appears to be continually politically motivated now, and I do suspect that this seems to be coming from the Greens, who have decided that exotic afforestation is not the pathway that they would like us to go. They would like us to go down the native afforestation route. As far as Māori are concerned, we generally have no problem with that. Our problem is the how. We know how to do the exotic afforestation and make money out of that and all the environmental benefits that come with any type of afforestation versus pasture. But there seems to be this vilification of exotics. And if they could show us a pathway, a feasible financial and environmental way through to exotic afforestation, then I don't think any Māori in the country would be having too many problems with these types of documents. but they don't and they won't. And so we will need to make sure our voice is heard over the next 8 to 12 weeks and make sure that the government doesn't take away our ability to sustainably develop our beautiful but marginal land use class land.
Tēnā koe. Thank you, Te Kapunga. It would seem that it's, you know, it's not too dissimilar to being dictated to as far as the foreshore seabed issues of 04. So, you know, when it's costing us billions of dollars, what about an alternate Māori-derived plan? I know that they are costly to produce, but surely it could have smoothed the waters between the parties had we come to the table as well with a plan that was devised by our people and then married up with what the government had and then work out the best way forward from there. Why have we not been given that chance, do you think?
No, that's entirely right, Dale. Had Māori participated actively in you know, I don't mean this to sound very conceited, but knowledgeable Māori with our underlying kaupapa around our people, our environment, our planet, and profit maybe somewhere down there, but not necessarily the first objective that I fundamentally believe we could have constructed an outcome and a pathway that would have worked for both the strategic issues around climate change and the tactical ones about afforestation. We know that for a fact there is a social license issue for forestry at the moment, given issues recently around on the Te Tairawhiti and Hawke's Bay. But we don't need to confuse the two issues. They're not the same. Climate change and afforestation is not the same as slash and woody debris migration. So to your question, Māori stand by. We stand ready to partner with our treaty partner to work in collaboration to design policy and regulation that will work for all of us, perhaps not just a very vocal minority, but very powerful minority political group that is trying to protect its part of Aotearoa, being the farming sector.
Tēnā koe, and thanks for your thoughts, Te Kapunga, and your expertise in this area. It's enlightening for many of us who struggle to get our heads around this particular kaupapa, but I appreciate your thoughts and helping us to understand it more clearly. Ngā mihi nui, kia koe, Te Kapunga, tēnā koe.
Tēnā rā, koutou katoa.